is my great pleasure today to introduce our speaker and our topic today. The topic today is the University of Lethbridge at 40. Interesting past, relevant present, exciting future. What are they planning? What are the challenges at the University of Lethbridge? Our speaker today is Dr. William H. Bill Cade. Dr. Cade was appointed to the position as President and Vice Chancellor at the University of Lethbridge in July 2000. By profession, he is a zoologist, entomologist, who holds multiple degrees, BA, MA, and PhD from the University of Texas at Austin, and has dual citizenship, American-Canadian. Over his 30-year period to date, Dr. Cade has amassed a significant volume of teaching and administrative duties with numerous research projects and student supervision, including mentoring a number of students ranging from those at a high school level to students engaged in postdoctoral work. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Bill Cade.
Thank you, Shirley. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. The most fun teaching I've ever had, however, was when I taught a course called Our Insect Friends and Enemies to 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds. And it was when I was a graduate student at Texas, and I taught at the Austin Nature Center one summer. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like 5-year-olds, the curiosity of 5-year-olds, and it was really satisfying. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about your university today. And I say your university not only because I see many people in the audience that had a significant role and many that continue to have a significant role in the development of the University of Lethbridge, but even if you haven't, because you're a citizen of Lethbridge, you live in the southern tier of this province, it is your university too. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but first let me congratulate Gordon Campbell on this organization, which has been closely tied to the university for 40 years. The University of Lethbridge is turning 40 years old this year, and Gordon, I think SACPAW is 40 years old this year too, if I understand correctly. Gordon, of course, was a founding father of the University of Lethbridge, and Gordon, your mark continues to this day. And I was very happy to hear how well your meeting went at the University of Lethbridge, I guess 2 weeks ago, and you met in Andy's place, and I would encourage you to think about doing that again. And certainly, if there's ways that I can help you with those meetings, I know you don't need any help because you've got LPIRG students, faculty, and all of you, but if I can help you with that undertaking, please let me try. Because I think it's very important that we continue to work on building a university of the first class, and I think it's very important that we think about what we're going to be like when we're 80, not just 40. And I mean SACPAW as well. What's SACPAW going to be like when SACPAW is 80? Because I have every expectation, and I issue a challenge to you to make it happen and to ensure continuity of this organization. Ladies and gentlemen, this organization is an example of my basic theme for the first 40 years of the university in describing it, and that is this university and this community have co-evolved together in a way that I've never seen between a university and a city in the many places I have visited over the years. And Austin, Texas is a great place. The University of Texas is, you know, hook 'em horns and all that, but it's so big. It's so big. The university itself is 60,000 students. The city is, 500,000. You don't get the same feeling that it is a university town, whereas this city is the closest thing to that university town that I know of. I believe this university and the city have co-evolved in such a way that the university has become a major economic engine, a major social engine, a major cultural engine, a major political engine, and a major intellectual engine in the city of Lethbridge. I do not believe Lethbridge would even be close to the fine city it is today if visionaries 45 years ago had not come together and decided we needed to build a university of the first class in this city. So that's why I say it's your university, it's our university. For those of you that have been directly involved and for others that have, I think, benefited from the association with the university. And SACPAW is one example. I like to joke. I gave this talk at a Rotary Club, a fairly conservative group, a little while ago, and I like to joke, Austin, and I said, dare I say, there's even pockets of liberalism because of the University of Lethbridge. In any case, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud of our university, and I hope you are too. And it's, you know, our budget nowadays is $126 million. The last time we did the economic impact of the university, our budget was considerably less. And even so, we knew that the economic impact, using all the formulas that people invoke, we knew the economic impact on the city was about $1.2 billion in terms of spin-off jobs and everything else. We bring people to this community. 40% of our students are now coming from the city of Calgary, Greater Calgary, at Canmore and so on. And we were very curious a few years ago about what parents thought in Calgary, why they would encourage their sons and daughters to come here. And it was the quality of life in Lethbridge was at the top of the list. A nice, very safe city, a city with a youthful feeling to it, a university city. We knew that the reputation of the university and the reputation of the programs was one reason that, that mothers and fathers had their sons and daughters come here from Calgary. And of course, as a father, we sent our daughter off to go to school in Texas a while back. That's a little bit too far. They don't come back if you send them 3,000 miles away. But mothers and daughters in Calgary said they want their sons and daughters to have some autonomy and a chance to grow up. And that they want to be able to drive down and see them on the weekend. So so we have slightly over 7,100 students on our campus in Lethbridge now. And in a city that is 85,000, of course, you can see the difference. It is almost 10% of the city are our students. If you add in the thousands that go to the college as well, you're well up into 10, 12% of the city are post-secondary students. This is a smart city. It is an intellectual city, and I think we have an opportunity this year when the university turns 40 and our older sibling across the river, when I said that to Pat McMillan, she said, she's the chair of the college, she said, yeah, we've got more wrinkles over there, but I don't think so. I think we're very fortunate to have these two institutions in this city, and of course we have the Ag Canada Station, the Health District, and you name it. I've got a list here prepared by the city of the major employers. We are said to be the second largest employer, 1,798. The largest is the health region with 1,900. So it's about, you know, 100 more or so employees than we have. We're number one. I don't think these numbers are accurate. I can tell you why. We clearly are a major employer in the city. If you add up the college is has got 948 employees. District 51 has 975. You add up the number of workers in what I would call the smart industries, the smart businesses. We come up with 4,623 people working in the city in the intellectual economy. I think it's a unique city in that perspective, in that regard. And again, I think we have an opportunity now in our 50th and 40th year, college and university respectively, to fly the flag of Lethbridge as a smart city. Ladies and gentlemen, that video gave you a glimpse of the University of Lethbridge. And let me just repeat a few of the things that we stressed there. Education is the flagship of the university, and Bob wanted to make sure we mentioned education, and what would the University of Lethbridge be without our Faculty of Education? And we're moving them into Turcot Hall, as the video said, and they will therefore have their own building, very centrally located on campus. And of course, that has some risks attached to it, because we don't want faculty to become islands within the university. But we thought that the education faculty was at a stage where that kind of move, that kind of synthesis that would come together from having all the faculty and staff and students within the Faculty of Education together to be worth taking that chance. A few things that the video didn't mention is we have started a new public health initiative. This is with the, I said I wasn't going to mention med school, didn't I? But this does not involve the med school. I'll let you ask me about the med school. The public health initiative is focused between the three universities. And it is intended that each one of the three residential universities will have its own role to play in public health. And the role of the University of Lethbridge in this will be to expand our nursing education program. We intend to grow our nursing education program from about 180 to 600 over the next 5 years, and we have received funding to support the students and to hire the faculty to do that. I'll come back to the challenge, the major challenge that we face as we look down the next 10 years, and part of it is related to the growth of public health. The management faculty is the largest undergraduate faculty in the province, and that is because we decided some years ago that the undergraduate degree was the most important degree for our students. And yes, we are developing graduate programs, but we are committed to focusing on undergraduates as the main thing that we've done for 40 years, and why change that at this stage? What was not mentioned was the there's a lot of information there on the growth of the research programs, and that's certainly true. My own view, and I think those of you that know how universities work, is that you've got to have research because it informs teaching, and our students are involved in our research programs. So as the research program of the university has grown in many areas, sciences certainly are very prominent, but in all the areas we teach in, we have very strong faculty research profiles. And I think that's important to developing a university of the first class. Arthur Erickson sent me a letter recently. Well, I invited Arthur Erickson. I've never met Mr. Erickson. Of course, he's the famous Canadian architect that designed U-Haul. And he wrote me this letter. He was complaining a little bit about the fume hoods coming out of the top of his building and so on. I understand that. But in the last part of his letter, he said he wanted to compliment the University of Lethbridge on becoming such an outstanding success as an institution of scholarship and teaching and research in 40 short years, because 40 years is nothing in the life of a university. I mean, my alma mater is over 100 years old. U of A just turned 100. Oxford's 800 years old. 40 years is nothing in the life of a university. So many of you were founders of the university and played an important role. Thank you and congratulations. The Prentice Institute is a very important part of what we intend to do over the next several years. John Prentice, on December the 7th, 2006, his son presented me with a personal check for $8 million. And I'm not kidding. It was a personal check. It wasn't a pledge to pay $8 million. It was a personal check. It was check number 106 from his checkbook in his hand. What do you do with an $8 million check? I put it in my pocket, of course. It was made out to the University of Lethbridge. I want to assure you that. John Prentice was a man who came from Scotland with nothing, came to work as a farmhand near Clare's home. What he did come with was a love of education and a clear understanding that education was the key to a better life. John went to Olds College, where he got his diploma in agriculture. He realized that he needed some additional training in education. He then went to the University of Alberta, where he received his Bachelor of Science in agriculture. John and his wife soon met, and they started their business, which was hog farming. But he was much more than a hog farmer. He was a shrewd, shrewd businessman. And I'm using the past tense because John passed away about 2 weeks ago. But John Prentice's gift to the University of Lethbridge of $8 million will allow us to bring our first endowed chairs in areas of social science to the University of Lethbridge. And the role of the Prentice Institute will be to study and to teach on long-term demographic and economic trends that are taking place in the world today. You think about it, our species has never encountered the kind of environment that we're in today. And I don't mean the quality of environment, although that's certainly true too. By that I mean the large-scale movement of people from one area of the world to another area of the world, the huge demographic changes that we are seeing in the Western countries that has all kinds of effects on how we do our business, how people make a living. And the Prentice Institute is going to focus on those very important phenomena. With the Prentice Institute comes problems of space, where to put the Prentice Institute, and so on and so forth. Which brings me to the next 50 years, and I'll finish up here, and we'll have some lunch, and then I'll be ready for Howard's question, and it's got to be a question, Howard. Got to be a question. You know, I've always enjoyed coming to Sac Paul. This is my third time here, and my wife spoke here once, and I know that moderators always say it's got to be a question, so I thought I would help the moderator out there a little bit, but we do allow some license for people like Howard, right? The next 50 years, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what the next 50 years are going to be like. We do know that the demographics of the typical university attending students in this province will decline. The numbers will decline every year from now on. Last year was the largest graduating high school class that we're going to see. Now, these things can change, of course. But if the participation rate, and that is the rate in which students leave high school and go into universities, if it stays the same, then I don't think we'll see much more growth in the University of Lethbridge. I think we've probably reached close to what our maximum size is for students. And I rather like the size we are. I have no desire to be 25,000 students. We have said if Albertans need additional spaces, we will provide them because we work to admit students, not to exclude students. But I think demographically, we're not going to see that kind of pressure that we've seen over the last 20, 30 years. That can change. A significant challenge facing this province is that we have the absolute worst participation rate in Canada. We're the bottom of the barrel. We are the worst in converting high school students into university students. We're one of the best in converting high school students into college and apprenticeship students, but we are the absolute worst in the country. Now, why is that, Mr. President? You know why it is. You know why it is. It's because you get out of high school, you can get a job making a lot of money and buy that shiny new pickup truck and all those things that, you know, make a lot of sense to young people. Last year, we were quite concerned last year that our enrollments were going to drop. At this time last year, our applications from young men out of rural high schools were down by 10%. And they didn't show up. Those young men didn't show up, but other people did. It's mostly young women that showed up. So we're seeing a change in the gender ratio between women and men attending universities. And I think that's fine. I think it's really great that young women are going to universities in more and more numbers nowadays, but I don't think we want a population 20 years from now where the men are poorly educated and the women are well-educated. Now, maybe you do. But I'm not sure that's a healthy environment. We got on the phones. We have an outstanding recruitment team. We got on the phones and we called everybody that had expressed any interest at all in the University of Lethbridge. We extended the deadlines for applying, and lo and behold, we shot up by about 150 students. Now, I don't think, however, we're going to see the large-scale changes in numbers that we've seen before unless we can address this participation rate. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't do that as a province, we're in trouble. Because the stuff that we suck out of the ground and we sell south of the border is only going to last so long. And we really need smart people in a variety of occupations in this province if we're truly going to move into an information economy. So when Ralph Klein announced Bill 1 2 years ago that he would create 60,000 new spaces within the universities, we're all quite excited about that. But how do you fill them with students? And that's a real challenge for us today. And I don't claim to have all the answers, although I certainly think about it a great deal. So that's a challenge. Get the participation rate where it ought to be. I think you'll see a lot of what we do now. I mean, I think you've got a really fine liberal arts university that has outstanding teaching and research programs across an array of disciplines with a few professional programs. Why would we want to change that formula? It's worked well. We've served Alberta well. So I think you'll see more of the same at the University of Lethbridge as we move forward into the next 10 years. Now, there's clearly going to be growth of the graduate programs. There's clearly going to be the evolution of the Prentice Institute, as well as other research-concentrated areas that we have been focused on. I think you will continue to see a focus on the undergraduate and the student, and the paper this morning described the new Center for the Advancement of Excellence in Teaching and Learning. Is that right, Caroline? Did I get the name right? Yeah, where's Caroline? I always have trouble with that name, you know. I think I probably have room in my brain for about 100 acronyms. And when I get new ones, I have to get rid of old ones. So CITEL is the way we're saying it. I think you'll continue to see the growth of neuroscience and some of the really stellar programs that we have. Education, the problem with education growing is that they have to, there's such extensive placement of students in the schools. And that's why it's such a great program. But we have, up till now, stayed out of Calgary and stayed out of Edmonton in placing our students into the schools because we had a gentle person's agreement amongst the deans of education at Calgary, Edmonton, and Lethbridge. They're not so gentle anymore. And we will be placing some students in the larger cities where appropriate in the years ahead. Okay, what's the main challenge? The main challenge is space. Those 600 nurses we want to add and those 10 or so nursing faculty we want to hire, we don't have any place to put them. I mean, yes, we're doing this great construction that you saw in the video. The video mentioned the Management Health Sciences building. This is a building that we've had on the wish list for 10 years, and we've not gotten anywhere with the province on it. And Bob, maybe you could, I'm going to ask Bob to hand out an architect's view of what this building should look like. This building is going to be called the Alan Markin Building, and it's named after the president and chairman of Canadian Natural. And the reason why is because Alan Markin donated $3 million to the university to build this building. But in the last several years, as we've been planning this building, the cost has gone from $20 million to $53 million. And that's not because the size of the building has changed. It's because we're in this red-hot economy where construction costs are going up at about 1.5% a month. And it's just, it makes planning almost impossible. Now, the reason I wanted you to take copies, please don't leave them on your table for us to pick up. Please take them with you. We need your help. I am of the view that there's many people in the province that thinks Alberta stops at Okotoks. And there's a bunch of people south of Okotoks, right? And this is a very important community center for the southern tier of the province. I like to say the true south. We need your political help to point out every chance you get to our elected officials that they need to pay attention to southern Alberta, too. And I don't, bless you, I don't just mean the University of Lethbridge. I mean School District 51 and the West Side Schools. I mean the needs of the college. I mean the needs of the hospital and so on. But without your help, this building's never going to happen. And if this building doesn't happen, then I'm not quite sure how we're going to grow our nursing problems. So I have two major challenges, I think, as I look forward. And, you know, I'm not going to last 10 years, mind you. Presidents that are foolish enough to stay that long usually collect all kinds of baggage. In fact, the average longevity for a president of a university is 7 years. Now, I'm in my seventh year, and I don't know what happens. So, you know, I've been looking around waiting for lightning to strike. And actually, I do know what happens, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But I think space is one of them. And if we had a perfect world, 10 years from now, we would have the Alan Markin Building for Health Sciences and Management. We would have the Water Environmental Science Building, which I do believe we will build. And stay tuned on April the 19th for the provincial budget. I think there will be good news in that budget for the Water and Environmental Science Building. But we'll have that. We will have a new stadium, because once we build the Alan Markin Building in the soccer field, we'll have to move that track and soccer field off to a location on the South Campus. And the city has been very keen about going in with the university to build a stadium there that would service the various athletic groups in our community. We'd have daycare. But nobody will be happy. Now, after you've got daycare, then you've got drop-in care, then you've got infant care. It just never stops. And I mean, we would very much like to have daycare on campus, but I'm not quite sure how it's going to work, because the Wellness Center, $31 million, not a penny from the province. Not a penny from the province of Alberta. That's a real problem for us. The renovation of Turcotte Halls, $8 million renovation. Not a penny from guess who? The province. And so we have a real capital, we're not in trouble. We're not going to lay anybody off, anything like that. But from our point of view of our capital budget, we are strained to the max. And so that's what makes daycare such a difficult thing to contemplate at this particular moment. We have a group working on it, and I think it will work out in time. In the perfect world, we'd have an art gallery. We do have an art gallery now. We have two small art galleries, and we have our art on a regular display at other galleries across the world, frankly. But we would have a standalone, separate art gallery where this fabulous collection could be viewed by more and more people. It would not be downtown, I have to tell you that. It would be on the campus of the University of Lethbridge. And there's a reason for that. That's because that's where the students are, and it is a teaching collection. That's a $30 million figure. So if we're able to do that in 10 years, I would be a real satisfied president. Now, I was riding over here with Rita. We're counting the number of buildings we absolutely have to have to make all this happen. What have I left out? That's pretty much it, isn't it? Okay. Those are huge, huge bites to chew on. And they all involve a lot of money, and they all involve building buildings that allow us to put students in them and allow us to house the faculty that we have to house to teach them. Now, many of you will know, and Gordon, you probably worked in those so-called temporary buildings which were on the college campus when the university was first founded 40 years ago. Those temporary buildings are still in use today. 40 years later, they are in just terrible shape. They really need to be torn down. We are going to move our physical plant into a new service building that's stuck off in a corner of campus in the fall. The province did provide $5 million for that. I'd sort of been fantasizing about taking a sledgehammer to those old buildings and, you know, really having a good time whacking at them. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. We may have to use those buildings because we're going to hire these faculty, and that's one option about where we could put them. But what a terrible place to put brand new faculty in nursing. The nursing faculty are the hardest. They're the hardest people to hire. You can't imagine. There's such great demand for nursing PhDs as nursing programs are growing everywhere. To sort of stick them in those old temporary buildings, I'd almost be willing to move the president's office over there. And, of course, they'd never see me again. But, you know. Or we may very well tear them down because we're concerned about the safety of the building and put up new temporaries. How absurd is that? But we have to find places to put the faculty that we're going to hire to specifically nursing nursing students and nursing faculty. So that's the big challenge is space. Here's the second challenge. It's a little more philosophical. And it's not my idea. I'm sort of stealing this idea from a man named Bob Church. I think many of you know Bob. Bob has been very prominent in Alberta politics and science and ranching his family for about 150 years. When Bob was a boy, he used to ride the range down in this part of the province to make money for his tuition. Bob was very instrumental in the Prentice Institute being founded. Bob came to speak to our board a few weeks ago, and his message was, I thought, pretty sobering. It was, he built this fine university located up here in the High Plains, tucked away in the southern part of the province, somewhat isolated from the big cities, and that's been to your advantage, Mr. President, Mr. Board members, Ms. Board members. It's been to your advantage, because you've been able to develop this fine university with a focus on students, but you've been below the radar for these 40 years. People really haven't noticed too much what's going on. Well, look, they're noticing now. Listen, the reputation of the University of Lethbridge is really, really positive, and it is far-ranging, and that's good, I think. I thought part of my job when I came here was to fly the Lethbridge flag, the city and the university, and I do what I can in that regard. And I'm not claiming it's because of me. It's because of you that the University of Lethbridge has become known as the University of the First Class. I tell people that I love bragging about the University of Lethbridge. It comes naturally. I'm a Texan, after all. But it's a wonderful story to tell, and it's very easy to tell, the story of the University of Lethbridge. But what about now? Why does that pose a problem now? Why is that a challenge now, Mr. President? It's a challenge now because at this stage of a university's evolution, there can be a tendency to rest on your laurels, to be satisfied with what you've done over the last 40 years. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a recipe for mediocrity. And we must not be satisfied. We must not rest on our laurels. We must constantly be thinking about how can we do the job we do better. So ladies and gentlemen, I'll look forward to your questions following lunch, but I'm going to close with one student story. Because I believe that universities change people's lives. Changed my life. I want to be an auto mechanic. My mother said, no, 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 you're going to school. My mother was really important to me. I did go to school, and she was right. I love cars. They're not all friendly cars. We'll talk more about that later. I met a young man named Han Lee. Mr. Lee is a Chinese national. He came to Canada from China 5 years ago. He didn't speak any English. He went to a college in BC and took English as a second language. And he looked across the country trying to find the right program that he would enroll in. And he found the University of Lethbridge. I met Mr. Lee in the fall. We were traveling in Japan, visiting with the two schools that we have exchange agreements with there. And one of them is Kensai Gaidai at Osaka. We've exchanged a number of students there and a number of faculty. And it's always nice to check up and see how they're doing. So I met Mr. Lee and his instructors. Mr. Lee now speaks fluent English. You'd never know he was not a native speaker of English. He, of course, speaks fluent Chinese. He was in the very top level Japanese courses at Kansai Gaidai University. He's going to graduate this spring. And last year, we had a co-op placement for Mr. Lai in Vancouver, where he worked for a small resource firm selling sulfur to China. But think about this for a moment. Here's this young man. He will be an ambassador of the University of Lethbridge. And he's just been hired by that company on a full-time basis. What does that mean? That means he was brought to Canada, he benefited from education in Canada, and he will stay in Canada and contribute to this country now for many years. He speaks English, Japanese, and Chinese, and he's sitting right there on this dynamite Pacific Rim, which is a region that we are part of, too. Because I believe universities change lives. We changed his life. But I also believe that universities, beyond their communities, are a source of major economic activity on a regional basis. By that, I do mean Western Canada. Enjoy your lunch. Thank you.